Hi everyone, my name is Mania Gobadi. I'm a PhD student at the University of Toronto, and today I'm going to present trickle rate limiting YouTube video streaming. This was a research internship done at Google with my host Yu Chang Cheng and my colleagues Ankur Jain and Matt Mathis. YouTube is one of the most popular online video services. Last fall, it has been reported that YouTube accounts for 10% of the aggregate internet traffic in North America. This includes also 18% of mobile users in North America, 24% in Brazil, 5% in Africa, and 3% in Europe. This vast traffic is delivered using TCP over HTTP progressive downloads. The YouTube server, the video is delivered just in time to the video player. So when a user discards the video, only a limited quantity of data is wasted, conserving both network and server resources. The YouTube server that is called Ustreamer limits the data transmission rate by pasting the data into the TCP socket. It does so by writing 64 kilobytes of data into TCP socket at fixed intervals. This technique is termed application pacing, and I'm going to briefly go over the application pacing as well as the problem that it causes in the next two slides. Independent of the client type, video format, or geographical location, all YouTube content is delivered using the same application server called Ustreamer. This figure shows the time versus sequence number of bytes for a typical YouTube video, where the black lines represent the bytes sent to the user over time. As it can be seen, the just-in-time video delivery has two phases, the startup phase and the throttling phase. Ustreamer sends the first 30 to 40 seconds of the video in the startup phase as a bulk TCP transfer. The purpose of the startup phase the purpose of the startup phase is to build a playback buffer so that to minimize the chances of player pauses at the beginning of the video. In the throttling phase, however, Ustreamer paces the delivery of the video by writing 64 kilobytes of data at fixed intervals. It uses a token bucket to compute a schedule for the delivery of 64 kilobyte data. Tokens are added to the token bucket using a target streaming rate, and tokens are removed as the video is delivered. Each video's streaming rate is 125% of the video encoding rate. The extra 25% here is to reduce the chances of rebuffering events when there are unexpected fluctuations in the network capacity. Unfortunately, this technique causes back-to-back bursts of packets into the network, which has several undesirable side effects. In the previous measurement studies, it has been shown that over 40% of observed YouTube losses are caused because of these bursts of back-to-back packets in at least one residential DSL provider. This problem is not specific to YouTube videos. Similar rate limiting techniques have been used in other popular video services. For example, it has been shown that Netflix uses bursts of as large as 2 megabytes to the network. And these bursts can't be good to the network. They disrupt latency-sensitive applications by causing periodic queue spikes. So the main contribution of this work is a simple and generic technique to implement just-in-time video delivery using a mechanism that does not introduce large bursts by smoothly transferring TCP. For that, we designed Trickle to rate limit TCP on the server side. And the key idea of Trickle is to place a dynamic upper bound on the congestion window size of TCP flows, such that TCP itself is going to rate limit both the average data rate as well as the maximum burst size using ad clocking. The server application periodically computes the maximum congestion window size using the round trip time and the target streaming rate and applies the maximum congestion window size as a per socket using a socket option. Once it is set, the server application can write into the socket as fast as it can, and TCP will take care of the rest. For example, for a video to be served at rate 50 packets per second and over an connection with RTT 200 milliseconds, setting the maximum congestion window size of 10 packets is going to achieve the target rate and minimize the packet burst size by 10 packets. There are two important points. First, trickle is a server requires only server-side changes for easy deployment. And second, trickle is a generic solution. It's not a special mechanism tailored only for YouTube videos. Just to illustrate how trickle smooths the video delivery, here I'm showing two pre-recorded YouTube videos side by side. The left-hand side is a video delivered using trickle, and the right-hand side is a video using Ustreamer. The videos are identical, and I would like to ask you to pay attention to the download bar. So for that, I'm going to fade away the actual videos so that we won't be distracted. This demo is available online on my homepage, so you can go to my homepage and actually guess what trailer this is. So as you can see, after the startup phase, the download bar on the left-hand side video that is using Trickle moves smoothly, where the download bar for the right-hand side video has a jump-stop behavior. And this shows that Trickle is effectively smoothing the transfer of packets into the network while preserving the video target streaming rate. Again, on the left-hand side, you can see a smooth transfer, and on the right-hand side, you can see a bursty transfer of packets. Okay. We performed live experiments to evaluate Trickle on YouTube production data centers. We ran experiments for 15 days in fall 2011 in two data centers in Western Europe and in India. And we had an overall of 23 million videos. We ran four-way experiments by splitting the video downloads into four groups. The first two groups are using the default Ustreamer application pacing mechanism with 64 kilobytes data blocks. The third experiment group is using Trickle, and we also introduced a fourth experiment group called Shrunk Block, which is using the default Ustreamer default Ustreamer application pacing by just using 16 kilobytes data blocks. Note that we are using two baseline groups to estimate the confidence level of the particular metric evaluated in our analysis. So in order to make an apples-with-apples comparison, new TCP connections or video requests are randomly assigned to different experiment groups. And we made sure that each experiment group has roughly the same number of flows. So when a request arrives, one of these experiment groups is randomly selected, and then the video is transferred using that experiment, using that transfer mechanism. So we made sure that each experiment group is having roughly the same number of flows, flow sizes, flow completion time, etc. And for each video, we measured statistics such as video ID, port numbers, byte transmissions, retransmission rate, etc. So the most important metric is packet loss, because Trickle is designed to reduce burst drops. Since losses cannot be accurately estimated in a live server experiment, we use retransmission rate in TCP flows to approximate packet losses. This figure plots the CDF of flow retransmission rate in throttling phase for a Europe data center. As shown, the two baseline experiment categories match entirely, suggesting that any difference between other experiment categories are statistically significant. The trickle curve is consistently above all three lines, indicating that it successfully lowers the retransmission rate consistently compared to other three groups. On average, trickle reduces the average retransmission rate by 43% compared to the baseline category. Note that even the fourth experiment category, the blue curve, is performing better than the two baseline experiments. It is not a desirable solution because using a smaller block size would quadruple the overhead associated with write system calls and timers on the I/O intensive YouTube servers. Sending a smaller burst not only improves loss rate, it may also help reduce the maximum queue occupancy in bottleneck links. Because there is no direct measurement on the bottleneck queues, we evaluated the impact of queue latency by setting the RTT measurements in TCP flows. The figure here plots the CDF of a smoothed RTT samples for our Europe data center. Again, trickle is consistently above all other three experiment categories, and showing that on average, the SRTT of the smoothed RTT of connections in trickle group is 28% smaller than the connections in the three other baselines. This brings me to the conclusion slides, and the three points that I would like you to take away is that trickle rate limits TCP by dynamically setting the maximum congestion window size. Trickle requires minimal server side changes, which is fast deployment and is desirable for content distribution networks. And trickle is a generally applicable mechanism to rate limit other kinds of video streaming. And with that, I'd be happy to take questions.
Hey, Phil Levis, Stanford University. So this is really neat because this is absolutely, these application data units are causing problems with TCP and Netflix as well, as you mentioned. So something you just touched on in the paper is congestion window validation. So some Linux implementations certainly will just go back to slow start when the socket is idle for a while. So what are the trade-offs there? Like, would that work well enough? Just between the bursts, for each burst, you just re-enter slow start, so you do the exponential growth, or is this better? What's the trade-off?
So in YouTube servers, the idle time is disabled. So when the connection is idle, it's still using the same connection, the same TCP connection. But what I can see is that trickle is only setting a maximum congestion window. So whenever you're going back to slow start or you're in congestion avoidance, this cap is still existing for the maximum congestion windows.
John Griffin with Telecommunication Systems. Two quick questions. One was, did you see any jitter, right? Did you have to deal with changes in the round trip time as part of the streaming? And second is, did Google adopt this, or what's the technique for getting them to do it?
Great questions. Yes, so trickle is dynamically set as an upper bound for congestion window. So if the RTT of a connection changes, the dynamic upper bound also changes. And if you're incurring transient network congestion, RTT increases, the upper bound of the congestion window also increases. And we do that by dynamically setting the maximum congestion window size. And to answer your second question, when I was at Google, there was a plan to globally deploy trickle at Google, but I'm not aware of the extent of how much it has been implemented at this day.
Question, Rachel, Polytechnic Hub course. So I'm just wondering, I mean, this is all very nice if you don't change the target rate. Many systems do try to increase the rate if there is bandwidth available, and with what you do, you basically stop them from actually trying to infer what the speed is, right?
Again, great question. So I'm aware that Netflix does that. Netflix has adaptive target rate. And while YouTube at that moment didn't have adaptive target rate changes, this mechanism is independent of the changes in target rate. Because again, the congestion window bound is calculated dynamically. So if the target rate changes, if we are serving with a lower resolution video, then the congestion window bound also changes adaptively according to it. So it's independent of the adaptive target rate mechanism that Netflix is using.
Last question.
Yun Mao from AT&T. I'm wondering if have you considered the impact of the power consumption on the mobile client side if you adopt trickle?
Yeah, that's a very good question too. While we did not present the result in our paper, we looked at the mobile users and we observed similar improvement in packet losses and queuing delay for even mobile users.
Thank you.